A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture."
May the grace and peace of the one who has been raised, our brother and teacher and Lord Jesus, be with us not just this day, but all of our days. I don't know how they did it. Those two women, Mary Magdalene and the one that the writer of Matthew's gospel only identifies as Other Mary. I don't know how those two women did it. I don't know how they dragged themselves out of bed so early that morning, or even dragged themselves out of bed at all. Dragged themselves out of bed so soon after the worst day they could ever have. The day that they watched him die. The one, Jesus, who they had devoted their lives to for 3 years. The one who they had gladly given the best of their time and their talents and their resources to help serve. The one who they had come to see and understand God and God's ways like they never had before. The one who they had come to see and understand as the embodiment of God's essence of ultimate love and goodness and compassion and justice. The one who they had chosen to, and in return had been gladly welcomed to become followers, students, disciples of. Those days had been the best days of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary's lives. But now they were gone. Gone because he was gone. On that worst day they could ever have, they had watched him be executed as a common criminal for having the nerve, for daring to challenge the leaders of the day to be better, to be more just, to care more about the poor and the hungry and the powerless than they did about accumulating and maintaining their own wealth, their own power, their own privilege. That's what they had seen and understood and experienced on that day the worst day they could ever have. But another day was coming. And on that day, Mary Magdalene and other Mary dragged themselves out of bed. They went to the place where Jesus had been buried, and they saw and they understood and they experienced something completely different. Something that was the complete opposite of what they had seen and understood and experienced on that worst day they could ever have. On that day, the earth quaked. Lightning struck. An angel, a word which means messenger, a messenger from God came dressed in flawless white. Think John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. Now I've completely ruined that image for you forever, I'm sure. Earthquake, lightning, messenger, angel from God, all symbols throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible of the presence and power of God, and on this occasion, on this day especially, the power of God's essence, that essence of ultimate love and goodness and compassion and justice and mercy, to have the last word. The power of God's essence to transcend the worst of us, the worst of our human inclinations, the inclinations we have at times, individuals, institutions, nations, to do things that bring death and destruction to the world and to others' lives. Greed. Individually and state-sanctioned violence, the lust for and abuse of power. He ain't here. He ain't here, the messenger said to Mary Magdalene and other Mary. It ain't here. That essence of God's power, that ultimate love and goodness and compassion and mercy and justice, the essence of God that Jesus embodied, ain't here. They thought they killed it. They thought they buried it. You can try to kill it. You can try to bury it. But it will always come back. It will always rise up over and over and over again. And with it, God will bring another day. Another day after the worst day you could ever have. This is that day for you, messenger tells Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. It is another day after the worst day you could ever have. I don't know how he did it either. Lamont McIntyre. I don't know how he did it either. I don't know how he managed to drag himself out of bed after the worst day he ever had. The day that he was wrongly convicted of murder. 23 years ago, Lamont McIntyre was wrongly convicted of murder until being fully exonerated just late last year. 23 years. Lamont McIntyre spent, for all practical purposes, dead and buried. Dead and buried in the world's eyes, anyway. And yes, McIntyre admits, For a while, I was pretty angry about that. I admire his restraint. For a while, I was pretty angry about that. But at the same time, McIntyre refused to let that worst day he could ever have kill and bury him. Kill and bury him emotionally, but more importantly, spiritually. He refused to let it kill and bury that spark, that piece of God's essence, God's ultimate goodness and compassion and mercy and justice, that piece of God's essence, that seed of the power of God's transcendent ability to overcome those things. He refused to let that piece, that seed be killed and buried. That peace, that seed of God's essence that he knew belonged to him, that he knew was rightfully his as someone created in God's image and as someone who was a follower, a student, a disciple of Jesus. He believed that another day would come. It took 23 years. 23 years. But another day finally came for Lamont McIntyre. The earth quaked, the lightning flashed, and a messenger from God said to him, "You are free. You are no longer imprisoned." And with that freedom, Lamont McIntyre now spends a great deal of his time trying to help others understand that, in his exact words, there is another day after the worst day you could ever have. But of course, not everybody's life goes the way Mary Magdalene and the other Marys did. Not everyone's life goes the way Lamont McIntyre's life did. The worst day you could ever have isn't always a day for us. My guess is for the majority of us, it's not that way. It's not necessarily one monumental event or one particular day. But instead, it is more like the way it was for another woman, a woman that Joy and I have known for about the last 10 years now, a woman who's not a member of this congregation, a woman who doesn't even live close by. So, in the spirit of the day, let's call her Other Mary, or maybe Other Mary, since we've already got another Mary. She somehow found us, came to us. It was about 10 years ago now. And it was because she was in some difficulty. It had been 6 months since she had lost her job. She was in her early 50s at the time. And in those 6 months, not only had she not been able to find another job, she had not even been able to gain an interview. My guess, probably because of a combination of her age and her gender and the fact that she possessed very little formal education. Even so, the job she had had previously wasn't particularly well-paying, but at least it allowed her to keep a roof over her head, maintain an old beat-up car, and keep enough food in the refrigerator. But 6 months later, all that was for the most part gone. She was struggling deeply to keep that roof over her head. The car couldn't manage it anymore, and she was constantly on the verge of what we call food scarcity, of going hungry. That 6 months became 10 years. 10 years. Unable to find another job. Unable to get an interview. The car gone. Maintaining that roof over her head simply through the kindness of certain government institutions, strangers, spiritual communities like this. She had come to us not really for material assistance, but just as much, if not more, for emotional and spiritual support. So off and on occasion, we have seen her for over 10 years in those circumstances. And we have also learned that it really hasn't been just a matter of the last 10 years. She is a woman who has spent most of her life with almost no family, one sibling of means who seems to be completely unconcerned with her circumstances. No other family, no close friends to speak of, no husband, no children, none of that. The worst day she could ever have hasn't been a day. Instead, she has experienced in what may be the most heartbreaking thing I've ever had a person say to me here, a lifetime of disappointment. A lifetime of disappointment. But through it all, through these 10 years, I have never seen her waver. I've seen her discouraged. I've seen her dismayed, seen her disheartened, but never seen her waver from her belief in another day. In God's power to bring another day after the worst day that she could ever have. And I have been amazed by that. Because I have not seen it. I have not experienced that in my encounters, in our encounters with her. But she has. She has seen and understood and experienced another day every time. Every time, as rarely as it happens, one of her neighbors invites her to have lunch. She has seen and understood and experienced another day in the handful of times that a mechanic she knows has repaired her currently old, broken-down car for free. She has seen and understood and experienced another day every single time that this spiritual community, you, have offered her even the slightest amount of material or emotional or spiritual comfort and support. Her life has not been like Mary Magdalene and other Marys. Her life has not been like Lamont McIntyre's. But for her, each and every one of those instances has been another day. For her, each and every one of those instances has been earthquake, lightning strike, and John Travolta bringing the message. The message that with God, there is always another day after the worst day you could ever have. In our Christian spiritual tradition, we celebrate, we commemorate Easter one day a year. This year, this day. See, Easter was never meant to be, and still isn't meant to be, a day. Easter was meant to be, and it is still meant to be, another day. It is meant to be an understanding, a remembrance, a celebration of the fact that through the essence of God, through that ultimate kind of love and compassion and mercy and justice and goodness, there is always another day after the worst day we could ever have. But at the same time, Easter was never meant to be and is still not meant to be something that we are just the recipients of. We are also meant to be Easter's deliverer, Easter's messenger. We are also meant to be the ones who proclaim to others when they are experiencing the worst day they could ever have, whether it's a day, a single monumental event, or a lifetime of disappointment, we are called to proclaim to them, "He ain't here. It ain't here." The essence of God that Jesus embodied ain't here. The circumstances of our lives in the world can try to kill it. They can try to bury it. They can try to cover it up, just like those leaders and soldiers tried to do in that last scene from Matthew's Easter story that Joey just read for us a little while ago. Our lives and our circumstances in the world can try to do those things. But the power of God's essence will always come back. It will always rise up again and again and again. And it will bring another day with it. Another day after the worst day we could ever have. And that, my friends, is Easter. Amen.